Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for your wisdom and all your awesome promises that you're giving to us. Thank you for showing us the things that are to come. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for victory over the enemy. Amen. Okay, I'm going to continue with Delivered from Captivity. This is part two. And it's an awesome revelation. I'll just remind you a little bit that in part one I shared a dream which had a double fulfillment now and at the end of the tribulation of basically a Red Sea for the factions. And I'm going to repeat just a piece of it here so you can be reminded of it. I had a very special, vivid dream before I woke up, and that was the last Bible study. I was viewing a large city, which I believe represents the world, that was under occupation of an enemy, which I believe to be the beast. And in particular, the satanic, leftist, lawless faction in the world and in the church. These usurpers were doing evil things in the city. The people were in servitude and unhappy. I only saw one face in the crowd, and it was Eve's. And this is because, you know, Eve was the bride of the first Adam, and Eve represents the bride of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, here. So she represents a body of people in the midst of this world, right? And as I was viewing this, I heard the sound of many airplanes, and everyone was looking up to see what was coming. And what came was a large force of planes. They then began to do airdrops of materials and supplies to the people. It appeared to be a liberation force. And my note was, this airdrop will be a man-child ministry of heavenly, godly materials, some through the air waves, to the earthbound to set the captives free. Amen. And how many of you know that the truth of the Word of God will do that? Set the captives free. And what's the man-child coming to do? Set the captives free. Yeah. And when the people saw this, I saw hope and joy come on some faces, including Eve's. We are, of course, going to rejoice at the victory God will give over the usurpers of God's world and His people. Then I saw the evil occupiers fleeing out the far side of the city into a sparse area, which I believe to be the judgment of the great and terrible day of the Lord, both at the end of the faction crucifixion of the bride, which is pre-tribulation, and 7 years later, after the faction crucifixion of the church. So, just give you that background. And then, of course, after I received this in the night, just a little, not even an hour later, then in the morning, we received many confirmations in our prayer meeting through words given by faith at random. Some I shared in part one, and the remainder I'll share here with some other dreams in the order in which they were shared. I haven't changed a thing about them. It's very interesting how they came out. Here's Leon's, Galatians 2, 6 through 9. But from those who were reputed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth not man's person. They, I say, were of repute, imparted nothing to me. Yes, Paul was raised up by God, separate from the other apostles, as a confirmation. This is the way the Lord did it. And of course, Paul was a highly educated Pharisee, so it was even more pointed, right? So Paul was pointing out here that many men have reputations among the people. And, of course, these men did have good reputations among the people. But we know that many are undeserved reputations out there in the world today. So we really can't go by reputations, right? But only God can ordain true leaders, which he's going to show you here. Verse 7, but contrarywise, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, even as Peter with the gospel of the circumcision, they saw this because they saw the fruit of the works through them, right? And of course, you can judge any leader by the fruit of his works. For he that wrought for Peter unto the apostleship of the circumcision wrought for me also unto the Gentiles. And when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, yes, that's how you do it, you see. James and Cephas and John, they who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. So you'll notice that no man can take for himself a position of leadership over God's people without destroying himself. We've noticed this among the faction. They all grab big titles, you know. They're somebody. And they grab the leadership, which it's not legal for them to do. And because they've not obeyed anything else, their heads get all swole up and they begin to do evil things, just like in the dream. And James 3:1 says, be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. Mm-hmm. Shay received 2 Samuel 5:6-10. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. Mm-hmm. And David led the people against the old man of the land, including the faction who seeks to keep God's people from their inheritance. Jebus was the city, what the city was called before, Jebus, and is now Jerusalem. And David conquered that with his mighty men. Who spoke unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Well, the old man is saying that we must conquer the lame and the blind, or we can't take our inheritance. But God has said this has already been accomplished at the cross, and our enemies are conquered, already conquered. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, even though they thought it couldn't be done. The same is the city of David. That's Jerusalem, the city of David. And David said on that day, whosoever smiteth the Jebusites, let him get up to the watercourse and smite the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. Wherefore they say, there are the blind and the lame. He cannot come into the house. And David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. David built round about from Milo and inward, and David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. Yeah, Jerusalem is the bride, according to what the Lord told John in Revelation. David and his men overcome the old man of the bride. They conquered the old man of the bride, and they took the land, right? The land of the Jebusites, the old man. They did what was commanded the people of God from the very beginning to do, is to go into the promised land and conquer. Of course, we are that promised land, the land that's drunk the rain. The Word of God, right? And Don Laughlin got this, Isaiah 60:14. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Isn't that something? There's that city again. And the wicked who have crucified God's people, especially the man child and the bride, they're going to be humbled. And Tim got Hebrews 1, 8 through 9. But of the Son he saith. Now remember, all these are by faith at random. Nobody knows what they got. They prayed, asked God for a word for it. They didn't know what the word was for. It was for the dream that I had just a little while before. It all fit together. But of the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. He rules according to righteousness, right? Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So Jesus, the King, who sits on the throne of the hearts of his sanctified people, and no faction will conquer such a person. It's not going to happen. He is the Lord. He is the ruler. He takes on flesh just like he did in the beginning. And he is ruling. Then Sue Gilbert sang the Joel 2 song. She just felt to sing it, and it really fit along with everything. Blow the trumpet in Zion, where you will remember in Joel 2, the enemy was conquered who came against the bride, Jerusalem. Yes, very interesting. This is Eve's revelation. It's all about the factions reaping what they sow. She got this on 6:25. I had this dream on my dad's birthday. He would have been 78. In the first scene, I saw that David and I were faced with an approaching faction attack. My thought is this is representing the David man-child reformer body and the Eve bride of the last Adam. The bride body, right? So, I asked Father for a verse by faith at random for the faction, and my finger was on, I will scatter. Ezekiel 12:14, in context, 14 through 16. And I will scatter, meaning factioning the faction, toward every wind, all that are round about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall disperse them among the nations and scatter them through the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword and from the famine and from the pestilence. Obviously, that this is what's going to be part of Babylon's judgment against them. As you know, everywhere you see Babylon conquering the apostate people of God, this was the method. Sword, famine, pestilence, and fire also is mentioned. That they may declare all their abominations among the nations whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, the Lord is going to use them to confess their sins and what they have done, and so on and so forth. Yep, and it's going to embarrass quite a few of them who haven't repented, but it's going to happen anyway. And after this, the scene changed, and I was standing to David's left as he was next to the edge of a forest. I believe the forest here represents the people of God, the trees of God. And he was looking up into the trees and consternation and concern for them. Then he began yanking these vines that were choking the trees down, down out of them, and with great force. In other words, yanking them down. That's actually something I was doing recently. I shared that with you. You know, that all that rain and all, it made a lot of vines grow, and even to the tops of trees, and has killed trees, you know, because it blocks out the sunlight. S-O-N, light. You get that? The vines are like the faction spirits which block the sunlight so that the people die. The people who are taken captive to those demons, some of them were just deceived. Others were deceivers. There is a difference. And the Lord is going to have mercy on whom he will, and whom he will set free. Once he had the tops of the vines in his hands, let me tell you this. This is an interesting story. Right across my driveway on the other side, there were some of these great big vines. There's, of course, it's the edge of a mountain, so it's all going down. I went around the back down on a lower level and saw these great big vines going up into the trees, and I cut them. And, of course, all of the greenery that was up, tangled all up in the trees was dead, and you could see it. So Brandy and I, you know, took some of those vines up the hill and tied them to the tractor, and we took off. We started snatching them out of the trees, a bunch of them together. And it stretched all the way from there to the house, pulling them out of those trees. And those trees were waving them back and forth and so on and so forth. We were amazed at the mess on the ground after we snatched them out of the trees. And the trees, of course, now get sunlight. And they will be revived, those that haven't already died, of course, which there was a few of those, you know, mostly very pretty trees there. But they just hadn't been taken care of. So he said, or Eve said, once he had the tops of the vines in his hands, The top represents the leadership of the faction, as in Ezekiel 17. Remember the top? He cropped off the most topmost twig, right? And so on. And carried it to Babylon, by the way. Yeah. Into captivity. I saw a bunch of poisonous green seed pods that looked like pea pods, except they were triangular in shape. And instead of cylindrical, they were the size of jalapeno peppers. Well, my thought was that these seeds represent the slanderous words, just like seeds in the Bible are words, right? Jesus sowed the seed of the kingdom in the parable of the sower, and the seeds were words, right? So the seeds represent the slanderous words that spreads the vine to others, and the fruit of the factious. The pod represents the fruit of the factious, and the seed is inside of their fruit. And then he said, they are green with envy. These treacherous vines represent the factious and the slanderous fruit of their lips. Jalapenos are hot, and they burn the mouth. And then she gives James 3, 1 through 12. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. For in many things we all stumble. If any stumble not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Now if we put the horses' bridles into their mouths, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. Yes, it's amazing. Yeah. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth of great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire, meaning the tongue, right? How much destruction can the tongue do? Well, it looses demons, absolutely. And you can see it out there in the faction in the government, how that the mainstream media is throwing out this slander, and demonic activity comes into the hearts of people who receive slander and takes them over. Same as the faction in the church. The same thing has happened. The best thing to do is obey the word of God. Make the people that talk to you obey the word of God. If you don't, you can get taken down. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell. Yes, some people's tongue goes all the way down to the roots in hell. For every kind of beast and birds, of creeping things and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's a restless evil, and it's full of deadly poison. There you go. There's the deadly poison. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men, who are made after the likeness of God. And out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought to not be so. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. Amen. You'll know them by their fruit. I asked David about the seed pods, and he said, they are poisonous. And he began angrily yanking them off the vine tops, and he handed them to me. He directed me to go and feed them to the peacocks. Then I saw two proud peacocks walking in the green grass that was off to the left of a narrow white sidewalk. So they were on the left of the narrow road. The road of holiness, the highway of holiness. It's white, right? They were off to the left. They weren't on the road. They were off to the left, missing the road. And you know, according to Jesus' parable, that's a disaster. That's a disaster to a person's life. They both outwardly looked like male peacocks. With the colors, but I knew that the one on the left was a female on the inside. That's weird. I know this, that the Lord has shown us very clearly, that heterosexual and homosexual perversion is rampant in the factious. It is God's Romans chapter 1 judgment, if you remember Romans chapter 1, because they love not the truth. And he sent that judgment upon them because they didn't love the truth. And they didn't glorify him as God. And the male kept trying to show off for the male slash female peacock and mate with it. I thought all of the sins of this text that she got for this with the accompanying judgments clearly represent the faction and their future. I pray that anybody among them who is the elect would come out from among them quickly. Job 39:13-18. I gave you the proud wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaves her eggs in the earth and warms them in the dust, and forgets that the foot may crush them. Yes, if your educated with the poison that's been passed on to you because you're proud and arrogant, you are in a position to be crushed. Remember in Revelation how that a portion of the city was laid off because it was to be crushed under the feet of the Gentiles, right? A judgment upon them for not being close to the Lord. Or that a wild beast may break them. Yes, that's what's happened. The dragon has swallowed them up. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. They aren't. Her labor is in vain without concern because God has deprived her of wisdom. Neither has he imparted to her understanding. Yes, this is why we call them the stupid demons. And they are rampant. When she lifts up herself high on high, she scorns the horse and his rider. Amen. So Eve says God is equating peacocks and ostriches in this text. And I saw this verse after I had typed the comment below about ostriches. And I might add also that neither can overcome the world by flight to heavenly places in Christ. And that also points out their folly. I went over to them and began to feed the poisonous seeds / words and fruit from the vine to the two peacocks, and they piggishly devoured all of them whole, like how I've seen ostriches eat in real life. Yet they eat like pigs. And she went on to say, all the proud and haughty will eat the fruit of their lips and their doings. Proverbs 18:20-21. A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Yeah, those who are in pride and slander are all taken by the faction demons. And here we see that they will reap what they sow, meaning God will faction the faction against each other. The scatter them verse that she received above, right? Yes, it will happen. It has to happen because the Word of God says it will happen. Be not deceived. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. And Sennacherib, the scenario that we get so often, was killed by the faction of his own sons. And I one time I was asking about the leader of the faction, and I put my finger on Sennacherib. Mm-hmm. And Jehoshaphat's three enemy armies killed each other off as faction divided them and saved the bride. Amen. James 3:13-18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life, his works in meekness of wisdom. See, we have a job to do. It's the Great Commission. These people think it's their job to destroy, I should talk on a corporate level here, the Davids, man-childs out there, and the ministries of theirs. They have taken this on as their job. But there is no such job in the Word of God. Paul definitely mentions these factious people several times in the Scriptures. And they will be mentioned too. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Because this is exactly what happens when a person has faction. They glory, they're proud, they're arrogant, and they lie against the truth. God knows this. He knew it when he wrote this. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, or demoniacal, right? Yes, it's a demon. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. And we bear witness of that. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance and without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, of course, is where God rebuked them in Romans chapter 2 for doing what they say other people are doing. Have you seen that on the governmental level out there, you know? Of course. It's in your face. The hypocrisy is astounding. And they don't ever see it. They never see it. They're never even ashamed of it. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. And then she said, I woke up. I asked Father for a verse by Faith at Random for the peacocks, and my finger was on the phrase, no one laid hands on him, in John 7 and 44. And she said, they threaten and slander, but Father will not allow them to lay a hand on anything that pertains to David or UBM. In context, John 7, 37 through 52. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living waters. That's the word of God that sets the captives free. It's the word of God, by the way, that crucifies the old flesh, too, in rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. Spirit words. This is that river of living water that comes out of your mouth, right? For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, said, this is of a truth the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, what? Doth the Christ come out of Galilee? Sounds like a factioning of the faction here, right? Hath not the scripture said that the Christ cometh of the seed of David and from Bethlehem? The village where David was? So there arose a division in the multitude because of him. Well, there it is, a factioning of the faction, right? And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Which, of course, she also got that at the very beginning. No one laid hands on him, right? The officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why did you not bring him? Uh-oh, a factioning in the faction is happening here. The officers answered, never man so spake. The Pharisees therefore answered them, are you also led astray? Hath any of the rulers believed on him? Or of the Pharisees, actually, that was a very good thing that they didn't believe. And Jesus said they couldn't believe, right? Well, again, you see the factioning of the faction here. But this multitude that knoweth not the law are accursed. And the ones, of course, that are claiming that they're all accursed, well, the cursedest one among them, you know. Nicodemus saith unto them, a man with a little bit of sense, he that came to him before, being one of them, doth our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and know what he doeth? Yes, that's what they were doing. They didn't obey the laws of judgment, that they had to be two or three witnesses. They even had to make up the witnesses and coax them to do it. And it's the same with the faction. They'd never obey the two or three witness law, or receive not an accusation against an elder law, or Matthew 18 and 15 through 17 that Jesus said the steps of correction. They never obey that. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? That wasn't being nice. That was factioning the faction. Search and see that out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And they went every man unto his own house. There you go. A faction. I asked Father for a verse by faith at random for David in this dream, and my finger was on the phrase, why did you not believe him? In Luke 20 and 5. And she said, none of the factious respected David's position in Christ, nor did they listen to his admonishment to repent of their wickedness, just as they wouldn't listen to John the Baptist. So they turned away and plotted David's crucifixion. And this is in Luke 20 and 5, but it's in the context of 1 through 19. And she made one more comment here. It's interesting that Jesus includes a parable about looking for fruit from his vineyard in this text. And in the dream, the proud peacocks were made to eat their own poisonous fruit. Yes. Verse 1, and it came to pass on one of the days, as he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, there came upon him the chief priests and the scribes with the elders. And they spake, saying unto him, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and he said unto them, I also will ask you a question. And tell me, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? They didn't receive the baptism unto repentance. They didn't believe they needed to repent, right? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? There it is. Why did you not believe him? They were too embarrassed to say that they needed to repent and needed to be baptized of John, and so are the faction. But if we shall say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. Yeah, they were against John. They were against Jesus. They were against his disciples. They were full of faction. And they answered that they knew not whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. It wouldn't do any good, would it? No, it wouldn't do any good. You can't answer a fool according to his folly. You know, the scripture says it doesn't do any good. And he began to speak unto the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to husbandmen. Now, there you go. We're talking about the husbandmen now, and they're not acting very good. And went into another country for a long time. And at the season he sent unto the husbandmen a servant, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. They wanted the vineyard for themselves. They greedily wanted the people for themselves. They just wanted to be lifted up. They were full of pride. They liked that position, and so on and so forth. And he set in another servant, and him also they beat and handled him shamefully and sent him away empty. And he sent yet a third, and him also they wounded and cast him forth. And the Lord of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him. Yep, God sent many sons to these people over the years. And Jesus lived in them. But they couldn't stand it. because the devil lived in them. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned one with another, saying, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." Well, you know, from the beginning, the faction has thought to steal UBM, but when they fail, they always try to destroy it. Because the devil doesn't like what we do, and he doesn't like the Word of God. They've tried to take that down, and they've failed, and God is putting it up better than before. "And they cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him." Yes, they did. "And what therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He will come and destroy these husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others." And when they heard it, they said, "God forbid." They knew it was them. They were guilty, right? But he looked on them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. Every one that falleth on that stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust." There's that dust again. You can't think all this up, folks. Look at the confirmations that the Word gives, and who is acting like this. "And the scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him in that very hour. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he spoke this parable against them." Oh, very perceptive. Yeah. And I asked for a word by faith at random for the factious leaders and received Isaiah 66:17 in context, 16 and 17. For by fire will the Lord execute judgment, and by his sword upon all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. I have to tell you, we received words like this for some time, that there was going to be a lot of people die. And also strewn among that is the judgment upon the apostate people of God. "They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go unto the gardens, behind one in the midst, eating swine's flesh," in other words, partaking of the nature of hogs, greedy, full of flesh, etc., etc., "and the abomination and the mouse, they shall come to an end together, says the Lord." They shall come to an end together, says the Lord. And he said, this is what I got by faith at random when I asked for a word for the David and Eve bodies of the man, child, and bride. My finger was on, smote all their enemies. Smote all their enemies. Esther 9:4-5. "For Mordecai," which means little man, in other words, man-child, "was great in the king's house, and his fame went forth throughout all the provinces. For the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater, and the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them." Yep. So interesting. Word by faith at random. Very interesting. So, I also asked for a word by faith at random for the factious leadership, and I got two texts. Psalm 106:9-11. "He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through a wilderness. and he saved them from the hand of them that hated them. You got that? And he shall do it. And redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Yes, he will. He is the great redeemer. And the waters covered their adversaries, kind of like the Red Sea, right? There was not one of them left. God is going to put an end of the faction. Psalm 37, 32 through 34. The second text that I received when asking about the factious leadership. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Boy, do they watch. They hack into our computers and our phones and listen, and they're always there stalking the women. Yes, yes. I had one guy stalk me through Walmart. I knew he was coming. Actually, I saw him and I passed him up in the back of Walmart. And then I turned and I was going towards the front. And all of this time, my ears heard his footsteps. I know he was 70 feet from me when he saw me and I saw him, and I just passed him up in an aisle and kept on. He was a factious person. I heard his footsteps running up behind me. That's not possible in the physical. It was the Lord doing it. And I saw him in my mind's eye running up behind me. And I turned down an aisle in the automotive section to pick up something, and I heard him pass by the end of the aisle, so I knew he went towards the front of the store. And so when I came out of the aisle to go towards the front of the store, I knew he had ducked into one of those aisles just ahead of me there. So I just kept looking to my left, and to my left. And there he was, right there in one of the aisles. And he was, his shock all over his face, like I'd caught him and I saw him, you know. Yeah, and he was stalking me. They're looking for something. They're watching the righteous. They seek to slay him. But the Lord will not leave him in his hand. Oh, my goodness. Nor condemn him when he is judged, of course, by them. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt thee to inherit the land. But you know that the wicked are going to be cut off from the land, right? Yeah. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I don't know how many people have fallen into faction, but I've seen that quite often they leave the land that the Lord promised to us. Well, Sandy had an extremely good dream, and Garrett Crawford had an extremely good dream, but I don't have time to finish this, so maybe we'll do a part three. At any rate, pray for the deliverance of God's people from bondage, saints. Bind the demonic forces that have taken them captive, bind the people, the false leadership who's promoted themselves over these people with their lies and slander. Pray and bring all of that down. We see in the text that we received that David's men are going to do this, you know. And I got to tell you that I've been receiving 144. I've done it four times in a night and a day. And it's happened multiple times. I think the Lord is saying something is about to happen. Yep. Keep your mind on the Lord. Keep calling out to the Lord. Draw close to him. Get prepared. All of you that seek to be in the bride, seek to be holy. Don't waste any time. Confess your sins and receive justification by faith, that you will be acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Come against, confess your sins one to another, the Bible says. Do this and pray one for another. This is a way that God has of delivering people from demonic bondages that sometimes they were born with and sometimes they received along the sinful way, right? But God wants to deliver us. He already sacrificed his son. He's not going to say no to those that repent. He is just not going to do it. He will bless you with deliverance. Go to him and believe him and trust in him. He will do it. He is a mighty Savior. He loves you. He wants you delivered, right? Amen and amen. And Father, we bind the forces of darkness. We know they're going to lose. You've told us so today very clearly. And the stupid demons will have to loose your people. And their slander will be seen by everyone. And I remember on the political side how Q said that they won't be able to walk down the street for the shame. One of the common words that we get for the faction has the word shame in it. Yes, they don't want to be known. They don't want their sins to be known. And but they don't pay attention that God sees them. And you know what? God talks. He tells us. He tells us their plans. Yeah, their scheme. And he does that so we can pray them down. We can make them impossible. They plot and they scheme and it fails. And they do it again and it fails. And they do it again and it fails. And they go stalking around to try to catch somebody at something. And, of course, they're not doing anything. But that's the way those demons are. And Father, we thank you for the victory you have given to us because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that he loves our soul. He draws us unto him. Thank you, Lord, that we constantly pray like Job did for his, quote, friends. We constantly pray for them that God will deliver them, that God will have mercy and set the captives free. And as you know, in Isaiah 61, the prophecy that Jesus spoke when he started his ministry, the man-child is coming to set the captives free. He's also coming to slaughter the Edomites. That's one of the things that happened with David after he was anointed king. One thing is he took, after he was anointed king, he took Jebus, Jerusalem, conquered Jerusalem, which is a conquering of the bride. You know that he that hath the bride is a bridegroom. Jesus was conquering the bride when he led forth these first fruits people. And slayed their enemies, which is their old flesh and the old man. You know, he was conquering. And thank you, Father, that you're going to do the exact same thing. You're going to conquer the enemies of your people. You're going to give deliverance and freedom. You're going to set the captives free. You're going to open the prison to them that are bound. And we thank you for it so much. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Well, God bless you and keep you.